It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to the debut edition of The Secrets of Staffing Success. I'm your host, Todd Lewandowski, Director of Content Marketing here at Haley Marketing Group. So why a podcast about staffing? Well, a couple reasons. One, there really aren't any other podcasts about the staffing industry. So we felt like, hey, let's use some of our really great resources, aka our clients, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients that we work with on a daily basis here at Haley Marketing Group. Really are such a great source of information that we said, hey, let's reach out to a few of them, see if they'd like to come on a show and talk about how they became successful. And the response has been overwhelming. We've got a whole bunch of our clients lined up, ready to share their expertise with you, some of their secrets to success, trends that they're seeing in the staffing industry, and kind of where they see the staffing industry going. So it's going to be a fun ride here. We're going to try and do this about once every other week. And you can check us out. We'll be on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, basically everywhere you can find a podcast, you'll be able to find this. So now that we have that game plan mapped out, let's bring in our very first guest. She is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Terra Staffing Group. They are one of the largest privately held regional staffing firms in the Seattle area, and they currently have over 10 offices in the Seattle, Portland, and Phoenix markets. She is Jennifer Lambert. Jennifer, thank you so much for being our first guest here on Secrets of Staffing Success.
Now you tell me. I'm happy to be here, Todd. Thanks for inviting me.
Before we kind of get into the meat of our conversation, if you want to just kind of give us maybe your 60-second elevator pitch on who Terra Staffing is and what you guys do.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. So Terra Staffing Group is a full service staffing firm, meaning we're providing everything from very short term, temporary projects, contract staffing, temp to hire, direct hire placement, all along that full spectrum. And the areas that we operate in, primarily we do a lot of work in industrial, office administrative support, accounting and finance. And then we have a whole separate team that focuses on technical staffing, doing IT and engineering positions primarily. And so, as you mentioned, we operate in three major metropolitan markets now, Seattle, Portland, Oregon, and Phoenix, Arizona. And yeah, the company is still privately held, and we like to describe ourselves as being in that perfect sweet spot of size where we're big enough to be really smart and small enough to really care. So
big enough to know
how to do this, this thing that is getting increasingly more complex, mm-hmm. and have the systems and structures in place to deliver consistent, predictable results, but also small enough that we take every relationship very, very personally, and we're highly invested in our customers' success. So that's the space of the ecosystem that we occupy.
And how did you personally get started in the staffing industry?
Well, I fell into it like so many people. It started out as a temporary job. Actually, my mother started the company in 1983. It was a very, very small company. She didn't necessarily have a vision for growing the company to the size that we're at today. It was just an idea that she had. Now, back in 1983, the business was much more simple. And so you could just jump into this with this idea that, you know, what if I rented out people's time? She had friends that wanted part-time work, and she thought she'd invented the concept of temporary help. She'll tell you now. clearly she hadn't. But it started off as a very small business. I never had any intention or plans to go into it. In fact, I would tell her, just so you know, mm-hmm. I'm never going to work for you. And she would remind me that she had never asked me to. So we were clear on that point. But coming out of college, kind of a classic situation where, you know, not quite sure what my next move was career-wise, just getting launched. And I agreed to come in for the summer and cover somebody's desk. At that point, I think it was just 7 employees total in the company. Wow. And she had a recruiter who was going on a maternity leave. And I was going to, for 3 months, cover this person's desk. And then when she came back, I'd be gone and off to my next thing. And 3 months later, she called and said she wasn't coming back. And I was secretly, or not so secretly, I should say, but surprisingly excited that she wasn't coming back because I'd absolutely fallen in love with the business. And so, you know, fast forward to today, and my husband and I are the primary owners of the business and growing the business and having a great time doing it.
So obviously your mother was a big influence on you early on, but If you think back to those early days, you know, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have, you know, message boards and all the resources that we have available now, you know, things like a podcast like this.
Sure.
What influenced you, you know, beyond your mom? What was kind of some of your places you looked to for influence or for guidance in those early days?
You know, we didn't have the internet. Now I sound old, but we didn't have the internet. We couldn't Google anything we wanted to. But you know what we had, Todd? We had the cassette recorder.
There you go.
I laugh about that, but it is so true. I learned this business by voraciously consuming any sort of recorded training material I could get my hands on. And so, you know, there's a variety of names I could throw out, many that probably wouldn't really resonate with anybody because there are people who are, you know, a distant memory, some of them not living any longer. But I got my hands on some good training material. I would attend conferences, not as many conferences early on, but definitely consuming training material voraciously, both staffing specific as well as general sales training. And then, you know, good old Zig Ziglar. I think have hit one of his series. I basically had it memorized because I listened to it so much in my car driving between sales appointments. So, that's always been a big thing for me, is making sure that I'm listening to and availing myself of lots of different people's perspectives and opinions, and taking that and informing and creating my own perspective. But one of the other things that we did early on was join an industry association of similar size businesses, privately held, that would come together a couple of times a year. And that was hugely helpful too, to be with other people in other parts of the country who are doing the same business and facing the same challenges. And so I've always been a very big fan, still am to this day, of networking with peers in the industry and collaborating and seeing how we can solve problems together.
And that's certainly something that really hasn't changed over all these years in the staffing industry. I know how strong a lot of those regional associations can be, even in the national associations, in terms of that peer networking and just the simple question of, hey, what's working for you guys? What are you guys seeing
exactly
in your market?
Yeah, we're all facing very similar challenges.
You know, we've all heard that dreaded commodity word thrown around in the staffing industry. And one of the fun parts of our job here at Haley Marketing is we get to help people stand out, stay top of mind. Just like our slogan says, you know, we help people differentiate themselves. How has Terra been able to differentiate themselves in your markets and maintain a level of success for 34 years now?
Yeah. So I have to give credit where credit is due, that we have had a long partnership with Haley Marketing. You could tell me better than I could. I'm sure you have records there that would tell you what year we started working together, but it's been a long time. I'm thinking at least 15, 16 years. And that's been a big part of having outside resources and outside perspective and expertise to help us craft that message. But you know, we're continuously reevaluating what truly makes us different. And as we grow and as we get bigger and expand into other markets, I mean, once upon a time, our differentiator was we're local. You know, we're the local people down the street that you know. We're around the same civic organizations and our kids go to the same schools. Well, that doesn't work anymore when you're in three different states with 10 offices, getting ready to open the 11th here in the next couple of months. That doesn't work as well. And so, you know, you heard me say at the top of our time together that one of our differentiators now is that we're big enough to be really smart and small enough to really care. And we keep leveraging that. So how do we use what's true for us, which today what's true for us is that we're larger than 98% of the staffing firms out there. So we have more resources and technology and tools available to us than 98% of our peers in the industry. And yet we're smaller than the big behemoths, the big box staffing. And so we can be more invested in the local community. We have staff tenure that is significantly higher than industry average. And so we get to know our clients, and our clients aren't having to retrain our staff over and over. And so we're constantly asking ourselves, what's true for us today? And how do we leverage that? And how do we talk about it with our clients? But as of right now, it's that big enough, small enough paradigm that we're operating out of. And then really just, you know, the size we're at now, it still allows us to be quite intimate with our customers in terms of being on site, being visible, being in good partnership, true partnership with them. And that reflects in, we do twice a year a client satisfaction survey, an NPS survey. And we just finished our mid-year survey, and the comments that came back overwhelmingly were in that theme of, you know us, you care about us, I feel like you have my back, I feel like this is a true partnership. And so that's really what we're leveraging right now, because I think it's true. I know it's true for us, And I know it makes a difference to our customers.
And I love that. And the thing that I love the most about what you said is you're always reevaluating where you guys are.
You have to.
Yeah, I think that's so important for staffing firms. You know, we see a lot of staffing firms. I think you're right on with that number about 15 years, because I've been with Haley for 15 years, and I think you guys came on right after I started. So over those 15 years, you know, I see so many staffing firms that are very set in their ways in relying on what worked for them or even what their messaging was 20, 30 years ago. And so I think that's so important what you guys are doing, regularly sitting down and reevaluating, hey, who are we right now? You know, if I think back to the way to who Haley Marketing was 15 years ago when I started, it's completely different from what it is now.
Absolutely.
So I love that you guys do that on a regular basis. I know one of the other things that you guys are great at Terra Staffing is using the different metrics to measure your marketing and sales efforts. It's something that, you know, I've mentioned it on many of our webinars and in blog posts that I just don't think the staffing industry as a whole is very good at. It's something that I've been rallying for about 15 years now, is just being better at tracking success and where is success coming from. What are some of the most important metrics that you guys track at Terra in terms of measuring your marketing and sales success?
Sure. I'd be happy to share that. I agree with you, Todd, about the importance of metrics. And, you know, I joked recently with a colleague at a conference that this industry has gone from big hair to big data. And it really is true that it's impossible to run a business without having data and measuring what you do. So there's a variety of metrics we look at. I'm not going to bore you with going into all of them, but sure. I think some of the big ones, we look at client retention as a core metric. And so quarterly, we're looking at retained clients in terms of billable dollars and in terms of number of clients, who's on the list that should be and who shouldn't or who's missing from the list. But really doing a deep dive into that data. For example, I was talking to a branch manager who their client retention metric is below what we would set as a firm benchmark. And she quickly said to me, well, you know why? It's because this, you know, one key customer, their business is a little bit off this year because they've stabilized. They're not using as much staffing. And I said, do you know that that's true? Or is that the story you're telling yourself? And so we dug into the data, and that's part of the story. But there are a few other clients that she wasn't thinking about. And by just comforting herself with the story of, you know, it's just this one customer that's bringing our retention down, instead of really digging into the numbers, once she dug into the numbers, she realized that there were some opportunities for them to win back some business that they had lost, or some doors that they had left open to competitors to slip their feet into. And so we look at client retention and reason for client turnover. New gross profit is a big metric for us, because we know that we're going to need to replace a certain amount of that gross profit every year. Even if we do everything perfectly, which PS, we're in the staffing business, we won't do everything perfectly. Yep. You know, customers move, things change. We know that we're going to have to replace a certain percentage of it. And then you add to that the percentage that you want to grow, and that helps you understand how much new gross profit, new business you're going to bring in. So we measure that closely as a metric. And also looking at conversion rate on appointments, we're very much interested in sales effectiveness. So it's not about just pounding the streets, at least for us. That's not our sales approach. We don't just pound the streets and hand out keychains and teddy bears and t-shirts. And that's just not our approach. We're looking at how do we call in the right customer who's the right fit for us. And then once we get our foot in the door and we, you know, make that introduction and have those first meetings, how do we leverage that into actual revenue? And so we track that branch by branch to see which branches are performing best on converting sales activity into actual revenue, and then take interventions as necessary. But I think just that the biggest caution I would have here is just beware the story that you're telling yourself. You owe it to yourself and to your people to dig into the data to see if the story is true. It might be. The numbers might validate exactly what you're telling yourself, but there are some times, and we just went through this recently, where we were looking at some data that told us a very different story than what we might have imagined, and helped us make some pretty big improvements to our business.
One of the things that you said there, I wanted to expand on a little bit. You said finding the client that's right for us. And I've had clients in the past who said, well, everybody's a potential client for staffing services. And, okay, that's a nice way to think about it. But how do you guys sit down and determine who's the right client for you?
Yeah. So again, using data. So one of the projects we just recently did, we looked at client turnover. We looked at the clients who There's a certain percentage, a higher percentage than I would have expected, of clients that were in and out in 90 days. So if you had asked me what percentage of our clients do we lose within 90 days, I would have told you it was very small. And when I ran the data, it was actually a larger number than I'd expected. And so then I did a deeper dive. Why did we lose these clients? In some cases, they're just one-off clients. They just had a very small project, and that's explainable. But in other cases, we ended. There's a pretty significant percentage that we decided that we weren't the right fit for them. And so we did a deeper analysis and said, what do these companies have in common, and how do we prevent ourselves from wasting time working with these companies in the first place? And you know, I could tell you what that was for us. It would be different for different companies, but for us, again, going back to the partnership aspect, a company who doesn't have an interest in really partnering with us and cooperating to help us help them ends up not being a good fit for us. Mm-hmm. And so there's certain signs we look for in that relationship building process, the amount of information that they'll share, access that they'll give you to, you know, key end users. You know, there's just some different data points that we have found correlate to us being very successful, and certain data points that correlate to us not being successful. Mm-hmm. So we do look at that quite regularly. And, you know, part of what we're evaluating too is risk factors. Clients that either have, you know, safety concerns or other risk factors that make them not a good client for us.
Hmm. All right, we're going to take a real quick break here. When we come back, I want to ask Jennifer about the candidate side of things. How do they find really great candidates? Because we know what a huge issue that is in the staffing industry right now, finding good talent.
This is David Cerns, CEO of Haley Marketing, and thanks so much for listening to Secrets of Staffing Success. If you're looking for new ways to improve sales, or these days, attract talent, our team would love to help. Check out our website at haleymarketing.com, or better yet, give us a call at 888-696-2900 and let us know where your staffing business needs help. Our consultants will be happy to brainstorm ideas for you. Thanks again for listening. And now let's head back to Todd.
All right, welcome back to the Secrets of Staffing Success. We're talking with Jennifer Lambert from Terra Staffing Group. I want to talk for a bit about the candidate side of things. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of the biggest challenges, and I'm talking probably 100% of our clients right now would probably say the biggest challenge right now is we just can't find enough good candidates. We hear it every single time we ask our clients that question. What are some of your methods? You know, obviously you've been in business for a long time. You've had some success. In today's day and age, what are some of your most successful tactics when it comes to finding great talent?
Yeah, we do a lot of work around this because we see this as being the single greatest barrier to our growth is the ability to procure talent. I mean, that's our product, right? So if we were in manufacturing and we were manufacturing airplane parts, if we couldn't make enough airplane parts to keep our customers satisfied, we'd have problems. And the same is true in staffing. I was shocked recently when I heard a colleague say to me, yeah, we're having a hard time filling. This is not somebody inside of our company, thankfully, but somebody in the industry said to me, we're having a hard time filling these jobs. We just can't find the people. But you know what? Our client can't find them either. And it's sort of like, you know, so well. And, you know, that's a problem. The reason your customers are coming to you is because they can't find them. And if you can't do any better than your clients can at finding the talent, then it makes you irrelevant. And now you're in that commodity game that you were just talking about. Yeah. Then we wonder why the client beats us up on price. If they perceive that we can't do it any better than they can or any differently, then we shouldn't be surprised by that. But we use a variety of different means and methods. And I think of it as, we have a visual tool that we use here to think about how we source talent. And it's a quadrant. There's two axes, and one is known candidates versus unknown, active job seekers and passive job seekers. And there's different activities inside of each of those quadrants. And so job postings are a big part of that. Job postings are a big part of our stock and trade. And we spend a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of effort and a lot of money on job postings, but our job postings perform better than the industry average. And I know that because we work with an agency partner on job postings specifically, that shares with us how our jobs are performing compared to the industry. So we're obsessive about the quality of the postings. Honestly, I think most staffing firms have a huge opportunity to just improve their postings. When I go and look at other companies' job boards and I see what they're putting out there as a job posting, they cannot be surprised that people aren't applying to those jobs. There's so many opportunities to make those better. So job postings are a huge part of it. And then very low-tech means and methods. We're doing more mobile recruiting, and I don't mean mobile like mobile device. Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. We have everything is enabled for mobile, but I'm talking literally going out into the field. I think most companies have customers like ours that maybe in a more of a remote location or a more rural location where it's not incredibly convenient for people who live in that area to come into the city or area where our branch office is located. Mm-hmm. And so we're finding opportunities to go out and do mobile recruiting events and bring in applicants in their communities for jobs in their communities, having a lot of success with that. A lot of success with community partnerships. We have a formalized program where we proactively and regularly communicate with schools, churches, social service organizations, trade colleges, et cetera, helping them, you know, finding a partnership there where we're helping them place the people that they're trying to help place. So we have a common bond with those folks, and we have a lot of success. Military organizations, there's just a variety of things. So community partnerships, networks, getting out into the field, and then everything digital. Job boards, social media, you know, there's more that we could be doing for sure, but we have people who are spending their full-time effort looking at how we generate more applicants. I mean, we measure those metrics really closely.
The job postings is, I love what you were saying there, because I agree. I look at some job postings, not just staffing companies, but of anybody, and you read them and you start to cringe. You go, wow, who really wants to apply for this job? You make it sound really awful. You know, so, what are a few your best pieces of advice for writing really great job postings?
My best piece of advice is to keep your audience in mind. And the audience is the job seeker. And, you know, I compare it to, think about when you watch a football game and you watch how beer gets advertised. It's advertised with women wearing next to no clothes. And, you know, the guy's a stud and he's throwing around a football and he's very popular because he's drinking this beer. You know, there's some sort of a wow factor, some sort of a promise of you drink this product and life is better. The women flock to you and you're more athletic and you're more good looking by drinking this beer. And, you know, yet we're writing job postings that would be the equivalent of Budweiser posting an ad that just listed their ingredients, right? I mean, that's
a really great
what we're
analogy.
Doing. So instead, we need to think like the beer companies or think like, you know, any other consumer product marketer and say, what is the payoff here for this person? So here's an example. I was talking to a recruiter, a newer recruiter in our company, and he was trying to write a job posting and struggling a little bit. And the client had told him, we need somebody who's really smart. And so he's like, how do I say in this job posting, you need to be really smart? And I said, first of all, you don't, because everybody thinks they're smart. And the less smart you are, the more smart you're pretty sure you are. So that's not going to do anything for you. But why does the person need to be smart? And he said, because my client's willing to train. He'll take somebody who's smart and he's going to train this person in this very specific skill, this very specific, highly marketable trade. And I said, there you go. Mm-hmm. You're going to put in your job posting that this is a chance to learn a skill, to learn a trade that could make you employable for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. That's
now,
great.
That's a completely different pitch than you must be smart to do that, to apply for this job. So I think people are either they're being lazy and just taking job descriptions and turning them into job postings. A job description is not a job posting. Or they are trying to use the job posting to screen for them. And so it's very heavily laden with, you know, you must have this, you can't have this, you know, you need to be this kind of a person or we don't even want to talk to you about this job. That's not a good job posting. Mm-hmm. It needs to be what's in it for the job seeker. We're competing for clicks and eyeballs with so many other jobs. And one of the ways I get recruiters to take job posting seriously is to have them go into a search engine like Indeed and, you know, type in warehouse jobs in Seattle and to see that there are 1,800 jobs that come up. You're competing with 1,800 different job postings. What can you say that makes your job sound slightly different than these other 18 jobs? Or 1,800, I should say.
Yeah, I love your beer analogy there. As a craft beer nerd, I will tell you, if anybody saw the list of Budweiser's ingredients, it wouldn't impress anybody, but that's just, that's a discussion for another day. But I love what you said.
At another time, I'll tell you my favorite Budweiser joke. But yes, no, Budweiser's not beer. Budweiser is an approximation and a poor one at that. But
I like that.
Yes.
You had mentioned when we were talking earlier on about your internal staff retention, and you guys are very proud of that. I know that's a huge challenge for the staffing industry is turnover of internal staff. So talk a little bit about what kind of steps you guys take to help alleviate turnover with your staff at Terra.
Yeah, a variety of things. The biggest one I would say is that we are very, very clear about who we are and what our values are, what we value as a company. And there are three key values that we have codified, and Haley's helped us turn those into beautiful images. Mm-hmm. But we have nailed down three values that we think are very unique and specific to us. There is more than three. Like, for example, integrity is important to us, but I would hope that integrity would be important to every company. So it's not one that we plant our flag in. To us, that's just table stakes. If you don't have integrity, I don't care to know you. But we have three very specific values that we talk about incessantly, and we talk about how those get lived out and how those get practiced. And that's conveyed in our job postings for internal hires. That gets talked about in the interview with internal hires. I was just a couple of weeks ago in an interview with a potential candidate for a recruiter hire. And there was a lot of things I liked about this person. But when I got down to talking about our values and how those get lived out, I could visibly see her losing interest. And it was great because by the end of the interview, it was a very lukewarm, you know, talking about what the next step was. And later that night, she left a message saying that she had taken a job somewhere else. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because the visceral reaction, the physical, you know, just looking at her face and her body language as I described what it's like to work here, told me volumes. Mm-hmm. And we're not the right place for everybody. For a person who fits our culture and our value system, this is the best job you'll ever have. But if you're out of sync in those areas, it'll be the worst job you'll ever have. It's not for everybody. And so we have a very rigorous process of evaluating and screening and sourcing talent for our internal hires, just as we do for the hires that we're making on our clients' behalf. We take it very, very seriously. About 3 years ago, we just really said it's not funny, really. With this industry jokes about, you know, how bad we are at hiring. And it's not funny. It's embarrassing. And we determined to be much better at it. And it's paid off dividends for us. So there's that. There's also the way we reward people, the culture that we create here. But it starts with having the right person for the company and for the role. And I think we've gotten a lot better at that.
For our final two questions here, I want to time travel a little bit. First, if you had the ability to go back to that fresh out of college, Jennifer Lambert, just starting off in the industry, what advice would you give her?
Oh, what advice would I give fresh out of college, Jennifer? You know, it's the advice I still give people today, and that is when you say out loud what you're thinking in your head, you'll have more peace and you'll have more power. And, you know, there really is, I've never regretted speaking truth. You know, there's ways that you can do it better than others, but I've never regretted speaking up or speaking truth, telling a client, we can't help you with that. That pay rate's not the right pay rate for that job. You know, being very candid, being very clear, being very self-defining about what we can and what we can't do. I've never regretted that. The times that I've gotten myself into trouble, the times that we get ourselves as a company into trouble is when we try to be all things to all people and we try to tell people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. And, that's something I got clear on. I wish I'd been clear on that earlier in my life. But the moment I got clarity about that, I felt a lot more powerful.
And then finally, if we look ahead maybe 3-5 years down the road, what's the biggest change you think in the staffing industry that's going to take place over that time?
You know, I think it's an evolution. It's already happening, and that is the environment that we operate in is becoming increasingly more complex. You know, I think about my mother starting this company in 1983 with, I mean, she didn't even know what she didn't know. She'll be the first to admit that. But it was a much simpler time. I mean, it was about getting paychecks out and, you know, processing payroll. And it was just much more simple. And now we're dealing with a complex regulatory environment, increasing layers of legal requirements, different paid leave scenarios, and, you know, all kinds of things. And, you know, in the three different states that we operate in, even within those states, we have different cities that have different rules about different taxation and leave structures and so forth. And so it's just getting increasingly more complex. I think it's going to be harder to stay small. You know, I think that smaller boutique players are going to have a harder time. I think you're going to need to get larger to get more sophisticated to keep up. It's just, it's increasingly complex. And then I'm seeing at the national level, the nationals won't like hearing this, but I don't know if they listen to this podcast anyway, but you know, I think they're becoming less and less relevant to the customer, in huge categories of the marketplace, which is creating opportunities for other players. I think they pursued so much the VMS and the MSP strategies that we're beating them in every market that we're in when you go head to head on staffing. And that's where the end user, that's where the hiring manager and the HR manager is feeling the impact of staffing, is the day-to-day quality, the day-to-day relationship. And so I think it creates a really nice opportunity for companies that are of a size, that they have the sophistication and structure to compete in an increasing complex environment, but yet they stay close to the customer. So I think it's evolutionary. There may be some major changes. I know there's technology advances and innovations at every turn, and every new technology innovation threatens to, you know, disrupt and destroy the industry. And I haven't seen one that's done that yet, because at the end of the day, it comes down to that last mile service and being able to, you know, make a connection between two parties. And I think the sophistication will increase, but the need for that relationship doesn't go away.
When we got the idea to put this little podcast together here, one of the very first names that was mentioned was Jennifer Lambert from Terra Staffing Group. And hopefully you have seen through the insights she's given us here over the past half hour or so why she was at the top of that list. Jennifer, you did a fantastic job of giving us the secrets of your staffing success. If you want to find out more about Jennifer and Terra, you can check them out at terrastaffinggroup.com. It's T-E-R-R-A. Jennifer, thank you so much for all of your insight here and continued success with yourself and with everybody there at Terra.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. And we appreciate our partnership with Haley as well. So thank you very much. Please give my best to your team, and thanks for the invitation.
Wow. That's how you kick off a podcast series. Such great insight there from Jennifer. Appreciate her sharing all of her wisdom and her insight and her experiences in 34 years in the staffing industry. The bar's been set pretty high here for all of our future guests. Again, if you want to check them out, terrastaffinggroup.com, T-E-R-R-A, and check out all the very cool things that they're doing over at Terra Staffing. My biggest takeaway from what Jennifer said was very early on in our conversation when I asked her, how do you differentiate yourself in all your markets over the past 34 years? And her answer was so spot on. Always reevaluate what you're doing. And it's so hard to remember to do that, especially when things are going well. When sales are up, when recruiting is going well, it's very hard to sit back and say, what do we need to change? How can we evolve here? How can we innovate? Too many times we wait until things are not going well. And by that point, it's too late. You know, if you think about companies like Nike, McDonald's, Pepsi, Coke, they're constantly changing their message. It feels like every year there's a new slogan or a new branding involved there with some of these big companies. And I think that's important for staffing firms to do as well. Take a look at your website. Does it look like it was made 5 years ago? What are you doing on social media today? You know, are you still on MySpace? God, I hope not. But just always be looking at how can we do things better. Here at Haley Marketing Group, we do something a couple times a year called Innovation Days. Where we basically kind of shut down for the day. Everybody focuses on their area of expertise, and we look at different ways that we can innovate and change the product and make it better. Even our internal processes. How can we build websites faster? How can we do this better? You know, how can we better service our clients, give them a better experience? So I think that's really important for the staffing industry to take that into account as well. I know, like we get so caught up in all the day-to-day stuff that sometimes it's hard to remember to say, guys, let's take a look at really critique how we're doing something today and how we can make it better. So I thought that was just really great information from Jennifer there. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to our debut episode here of Secrets of Staffing Success. As I said at the beginning, you'll be able to find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, basically anywhere you can find a podcast, we're going to get this one up there. So also make sure you check us out on all of our social media platforms. You can check us out on Twitter at Haley Marketing. We'll always be promoting all of our brand new episodes there. Well, every other week, we should have a new one up from some of the greatest minds and thought leaders and thinkers and innovators in the staffing industry. So we hope you'll continue to tune in and check out all of our brand new episodes. If you like the show, please, please, please go into iTunes or into Google Play and just give us a quick rating. Give us a nice 5-star rating. Tell us what you like about the show. Also, any future topics, anything you'd like to hear us discuss in future episodes of Secret of Staffing Success. That'll do it for us this week. We will be back in 2 weeks with another great episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. Thanks for listening.